This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham and for Cynthia Canty. We've seen recently an increase in attacks on Muslims, vandalism of Jewish cemeteries, the shooting of two Asian Indian IT techs, and so on in recent weeks. It's a dastardly trend that reminds people of the actions by white supremacist groups of the past. One of the infamous groups in Southeast Michigan was known as the Black Legion. David Sewick is a professor of history at Lansing Community College, and he joins us now. So you know about these guys. It's the 1930s, and Detroit has seen a large migration of white Southerners into the city. What philosophies did they bring with them?
Well, the Black Legion had the philosophy of white supremacy, as well as what we nowadays might call far-right politics. They were very strongly anti-union, and they were anti-Catholic, they were anti-Jewish, they were anti-black. And so they had some of the similar ideological beliefs of the Ku Klux Klan, which, of course, had been popular in this country for a very long time and had waxed and waned in terms of its popularity, in terms of people who had affiliations with it or membership in it. And the Black Legion was very similar along those lines.
How were they different? Because the KKK was active in, for instance, Howell and some other places in Michigan.
One of the primary differences with the Black Legion would probably be how strongly anti-union they were. And you look at some of the people that the Black Legion members murdered, and they were union organizers. They were union organizers at well-known companies, Ford Motor Company, Hudson, to name a couple of the well-known cases that ended up having Black Legion members prosecuted. So I think the anti-union aspect of them certainly distinguishes them a bit from the Ku Klux Klan.
Do we have any idea how many members were in the Black Legion?
That's a good question, and estimates that historians have put out range widely. In fact, some historians would estimate it to be 20, 30,000, others as high as 200,000.
Were most of them in Michigan?
Michigan and Ohio seems to be the center of the Black Legion.
So popular, I know, in Detroit, Pontiac, Flint as well.
Sure. Highland Park, Ecorse, the Southeast Michigan area as a whole.
So what did they do? What did they want?
They wanted America for Americans, to use their own terms. And what they branded themselves as was a group that was going to take immigrants, non-white Protestants, out of the competition for jobs, that they were going to return America to some sort of a Protestant white cultural identity. And the labor aspect, though, is very important. Keep in mind, this is the 1930s, this is Depression. The unemployment rate in Southeast Michigan was very high. Varying really between 25 to as high as nearly 50% throughout, especially the first half into the middle part of the 1930s. And their membership really drew from people who were out of work, were looking for work, or who were in work but were afraid that they were going to lose their jobs. And so to tell those people that immigrants are the threat to your economic security, it was something that some people were willing to listen to.
How do they recruit?
They would recruit on the shop floor in factories. They would hold meetings. They had a front group, if you will, that was called the Wolverine Republican League. They had the appearance of a very legitimate social group. They had a headquarters that they met in. They had a prominent attorney in Detroit, a gentleman by the name of Harry Marks, who was a well-connected attorney, had an office in the Guardian Building downtown. And in fact, his office address in the Guardian Building was their official mailing address. However, they had a meeting house. It wasn't theirs particularly. It was a space that they shared with others that the owners of the house rented out. And that building is actually still in Detroit. It was called the Finlander Temple. It was a former Masonic temple. It's on the corner of Waterman and West Lafayette in southwest Detroit, and it's still around. It's now a banquet hall called El Bosque.
So how violent were they?
They were violent. They committed murders, they committed beatings, they had the very same type of actions that the Ku Klux Klan had.
They, in 1936, some of the top leaders murdered a man named Charles Poole. What did they have against Poole?
Well, that's an interesting story. So the Charles Poole murder is ultimately what exposed the Black Legion in quite a dramatic fashion, as the headlines were on the front of the Detroit newspapers. So Charles Poole's wife's brother-in-law was a man by the name of Lowell Rushing, and he was in the Black Legion. And Charles Poole's wife had been admitted into the hospital. She was pregnant, and doctors feared a miscarriage. Rushing had attended a Black Legion meeting and got the crowd whipped into a frenzy, accusing Poole of assaulting his wife
and causing the potential miscarriage.
So he gets the crowd whipped into a frenzy at this meeting. Harvey Davis, who is a local Black Legion leader, as well as Dayton Dean, who worked for the Detroit Public Lighting Department, also a member of the Black Legion, they are able to lure Poole out of his house, and they drive him to Dearborn Heights, and they murder him.
The premise was interesting, too. A new baseball group? Is that what a new baseball organization is what they were taking him to?
Yeah, it was something. Yeah, it was something that existed actually around the state of Michigan, around the country at the time, something that where I'm from in Kalamazoo back in the day were called city baseball leagues. And these were mostly factory teams that had their own baseball teams. And this was a very big deal. This is how you could get hired into a factory. My grandfather used to tell me if you were a well-known shortstop or third baseman in Kalamazoo in the 1940s, you could get hired into a shop. And so they had lured Poole out of his house, telling him that he was going to go try out for one of these baseball teams.
So the rumor about Poole was completely made up. They killed him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members of the Black Legion had a change of heart when he found out that the rumor about Poole beating his wife till she had a miscarriage was wrong. And we should note, part of the reason Poole was a target was he was Catholic.
Absolutely. In fact, Poole had been driven out of Kentucky previously by the Ku Klux Klan because he was Catholic.
So what happened after this one member of the Black Legion had a change of heart?
Sure. Well, witnesses saw men hauling or luring Poole out of the house, and the detectives that were put on the case called in pretty quickly Harvey Davis and Dayton Dean, and both of them actually ended up having, if not a change of heart, at least they talked to the detectives, and they talked quite fluidly, shall we say, because they started naming names. And one by one, the police called more people in for questioning, and before they knew it, they not only had the Poole murder case on their hand, but they also had some previous missing persons murder cases that had gone unsolved, or at least had been deemed case closed, that were opened back up. And the web of the Black Legion then was exposed.
And a lot of these people went to prison for life. The Black Legion fell apart. Where did its members turn then?
Well, those who went to prison served long terms. Other members, we don't know what happened to really what we would call the rank and file. Some of them probably just dissipated back into normal society. However, there are some well-known figures who were associated with the Wolverine Republican League, which was this political front group, if you will, for the Black Legion. And some of these folks had an interesting after story themselves.
1936 was not all that long ago. The children and grandchildren of Black Legion members are still alive, and presumably some of them are still living in this area. What kind of legacy has that group left in Southeast Michigan?
Well, that's a good question. I think the legacy of Southeast Michigan having a very strong labor movement, but also anti-labor movement and anti-labor sentiment. To get back to a point I made earlier about the power that the Black Legion had in disrupting organizing attempts. I don't know if we can necessarily say that that's a direct legacy of the Legion, but that political division that the Legion manipulated is certainly still around. And we look at the anti-immigrant sentiment that exists in communities across Southeast Michigan, but across the country as a whole, as the United States is now at a point where we have a large percentage of population as immigrants. Anti-immigrant sentiment was a major issue in the political campaign we just went through. It's a major issue still with some of the executive orders that the current administration has issued. And I think that struggle, if you will, for a defined American culture and what role that immigrants play in it is certainly something that we can recognize to this day.
There was a movie about the Black Legion starring Humphrey Bogart. That movie was screened recently in Lansing. You facilitated a discussion afterward. What was the reaction of the people who saw it?
The reaction was quite mixed, but at the same time very, I think, striking in the immediate connections that people were able to make with some of the themes in the movie to what's going on in our culture nowadays. People definitely brought up some of the dialogue in the movie that sounds very much like the dialogue that a lot of people in our country nowadays are professing against immigrants. There's one scene in that movie in particular where the character that Humphrey Bogart plays, his name is Frank Taylor, he goes to a recruiting meeting for the Black Legion, and the speech that the actor gives in character is very reminiscent of some of the stuff that we heard at the most recent presidential campaign, that America for Americans, America first. And there were certainly many people at our film screening last week who brought that up, that they recognized that connection to the present.
We've been talking about the Black Legion in Southeast Michigan. David Seawick is a professor of history at Lansing Community College. Thanks for letting us know about this.
Thank you.